You're listening to The Sci-Fi Show. Welcome to episode 52 of The Sci-Fi Show, everybody. Thanks for tuning in again. And thanks for everybody who's been patient with me during my long absence. Sorry the show's been all over the place for a while. Hopefully, this marks the beginning of a return to regular programming. So, we'll see how we go, but I got a good feeling about this. So before I get down to it, I guess I'll extend the offer to any interested parties. Would you like to host a sci-fi show? Either co-host with me, send me an email and let me know, or perhaps produce the main body of the episode yourself, and I'm happy to put that on the feed. So, if you'd like to step up and have a go, let me know. I'm keen. Anyway, today's episode is going to be using the Stargate Season 2 episode The Keeper, and we're going to be looking at the idea of the experience machine. But we'll get down to that right after this.
A Work in Progress, a podcast for lovers of speculative fiction, where you'll find writing tips, news, cool music, and the occasional rant.
Oh, someone put a stake in me.
Jeez, there's a critic around every corner. smsan.wordpress.com.
In the Stargate Season 2 episode The Keeper, the gang from SG-1 find themselves on an alien planet, where they discover a beautiful garden, and inside a large technologically advanced dome, they discover a race of people imprisoned inside some sort of life support chairs. And the team, unsurprisingly, are captured by these chairs and find themselves in a virtual world. This virtual world allows them to experience different things. Although rather traumatically, Jack and Daniel over and over experience particularly traumatic events in which friends or family were killed. It turns out that the Keeper, that watches over the virtual reality environment they find themselves in, is trying to get them to explore different experiences and different ways of resolving these missed opportunities in the past where bad things have happened. And eventually, the team saves the day, everybody escapes from the machine, and the people of the world are rescued to come back to their beautiful garden from the world they thought was destroyed. Now, this episode of Stargate contains some pretty interesting ideas, I thought. Most notably, it touches on the concept of hedonism and the experience machine. Now, I suspect I could probably use one of the Star Trek episodes on holodeck addiction to a similar end, but I haven't done a Stargate before, so I'm going to go with that. The idea of the experience machine goes back to the philosopher Robert Nozick, and it's essentially intended as a way of refuting the idea of hedonism as a sufficient system of ethics. Now, it's a thought experiment, but we see it embodied in this episode of Stargate. You have people trapped inside the machines, and they're basically able to live and experience lives inside them. Now, is it a stretch to imagine that these lives could be made perfect in some suitable definition of the word perfect? And certainly for the sort of classic hedonist utilitarian approach, the life could be made endlessly pleasurable, or maximally pleasurable, without too much difficulty, I wouldn't think. Assuming technology like this was available, and ignoring pesky details like who'd run the machine and things like that. So, Nozick's argument goes like this. Hedonism means that the only thing that affects our well-being is pleasure, or the pursuit of pleasure. So, if hedonism were correct, then we'd plug into the machine because what we want and what we ultimately desire is pleasurable experience. But we would not plug into the machine because we were concerned about the reality of our experiences. The conclusion, therefore, there is something other than pleasure that affects our well-being, and therefore, hedonism itself is defeated as an idea because hedonism claims that ultimately what we want is pleasure. So, the question is, why would we want to avoid this then? Seems intuitively obvious to me, at least, that you probably wouldn't want to plug into the machine and just have your pleasure centers stimulated in the appropriate fashion, however it works out, to simulate a life of suitable experience for you. Why would you not want to do it? Now, Nozick provides three reasons for why we think we shouldn't want to plug into the machine. The first one is we want to do certain things, not just have the experience of doing them. So, for example, in the pleasure machine, if it was our desire to climb Mount Everest, we could participate in an entirely accurate simulation of the event. But would that be the same as actually climbing Mount Everest itself? So, you know, it feels like you're climbing Mount Everest, the sensations are all there. Perhaps you're even in danger, I don't know. But would that be the same as actually doing it? Would you be willing to say, well, yes, of course I conquered Everest, I did it in the pleasure machine over there. Surely something's missing. His next reason is, we want to be a certain sort of person. And I guess what he's driving at there is, your experiences make you a certain sort of person, and an experience of endless pleasure like that, just some sort of stimulated blob in a tank, as Nozick commented, would not meet that goal. It'd be insufficient. What do you think of that idea, listeners out there? I don't know. I think he's got something to that as well. I'm not sure a series of endlessly pleasurable experiences would suffice to make you the sort of person you want to be. Certainly, I'm inclined to think of children that get whatever they want, whenever they want, and well-rounded, mature human beings is probably not the word I'd use to describe such individuals. I'll leave you to choose your description of choice for those sorts of people. And also, finally, I think this is an interesting one, plugging into something like the experience machine limits us to a man-made reality. So, whatever you're experiencing is limited by whatever the creators of the machine could come up with. That could be pretty broad, but ultimately it's just a man-made simulation of the real world. So, I think something falls short there. Now, some of those observations of Robert Nozick's are actually pretty deep when you think about them and unpack them a little bit. After all, I could plug into the pleasure machine, and if what I desired was a happy marriage with a loving spouse, all the usual sorts of things, kids and whatnot, I could certainly have these experiences to any degree I wanted. And these are the sorts of things people think are important and fulfilling in life, so perhaps you could even have the kids, in some sense, I don't know. Just plucking ideas out of the air here a little bit, but still. And so it wouldn't just be simulated children, you'd have real children to carry on at the end and whatnot. Assume you could even get that far. Would you want a perfect spouse that you didn't have to work at being married to? Well, maybe that would be good. I don't know. I hope my wife doesn't listen to this. Or anyone I know that knows my wife. Anyway, I suspect the answer is no. What you want from a marriage is relating to another human being, even when it's hard. Sharing your life with another person is something that the experience machine could simply never provide you, because there'd be no other person there to provide it to. Interestingly, Mer Lafferty, in her first Heaven novel, touched on this idea when one of the characters found herself in heaven with the man of her dreams, and everything was perfect and wonderful and it was great, and she hated it after a while, precisely because it was exactly what she wanted, it didn't take any work, and it was sort of fake and artificial. I guess, in a sense, it's interesting. We want out of relationships and things like that, I think, the challenge to some degree, which something like the pleasure machine can't really provide, because ultimately it would just be trying to simulate that aspect of the enjoyment as well. It's still ultimately artificial. This seems unfulfilling to me. I don't know. But this does bring us back to the question, if hedonism is a proper ethical system, why do we run into this dilemma? Surely having our pleasure centers stimulated in an appropriate manner, if hedonism is true, should be sufficient. Clearly it's not. I'll leave you to think about that. I think it'll just be a short episode this time, for the first one back in after a hiatus, and I think there's plenty to think about there. So, be right back after this.
Do you have 142 minutes of listening time and like science fiction? Then listen to the Jovian Gay Chronicles, available for free on Podiobooks.com. In my 4-part short story collection, I answer the question, what happens when humans cross paths with intelligent aliens that claim to be prophets from God? But don't worry, religion isn't an overbearing theme of the story. Remember, if you're looking for some hard science fiction to listen to, then the Jovian Gay Chronicles is right up your alley. For more information on how to download the free audiobook, visit www.thejoviangate.com.
Okay, so, to round the show out, a couple of things. Hopefully the show will continue to stay on a regular schedule. I'll do my best there. If you want to contact me, thescifishow@gmail.com. One of these days I'll have to reorganize the forums and fix them up, and we can get back to that, if I have time. And, as I said before, if you'd like to host a show or co-host a show with me, shoot me an email, thescifishow@gmail.com, and we can hook that up. But to round the show out, I thought I'd leave you with a song. Got permission to play this pleasurable little ditty by Worm Quartet from his latest album Mental Notes called Sears for Lettuce. I really enjoy it, so I hope you'll enjoy it and derive some pleasure from it as well. And I'll talk to you next time.
Listen to you, bitch. Listen to you, whine. But you cruise the CD, yuppie jerks are cooking for this time. Your kids are getting fatter and the yellow's rather bleak. Despite you putting them on 3-fat diets every week. So do you take a blame and make a change at home? Well, damn it, you're American. You're born to bitch in mode. And just like every problem, your solution is the same. Your feature came already, babysitter is the blame. There's every single character on every single show. But they seem to mold it perfectly to help their children grow. Cause a family and your role models would be good for good health. You might just have to be one yourself. And who has time for that? So wave your pen at the bin, you turn on your TV. Right now we're down every day, a decent CSE. There's a googly and pumpkin with a coat of baby blue. You can complain of something, get up, don't look like a fool. And when they can sleep at night, the cookies disappear. And suddenly the prison fire rush for second fear. There's one that's fucking famous, one that's driven into doors. So when the stuff is done, see what's all in these scores. Because you're freaking busy, you can teach your kids to see that reality is different from what's broadcast on TV. So you know that they'll just emulate the things that puppets do. And that might reflect badly on you. Now you're screaming for the blood of the cookie monster. Evil puppet demon of obesity. That's a demon tune in this fearful valley. Save the letter, it's good enough for me. Hey! No sister and math. It's on the ESP with a villain's pretty bad. You get the school of failing, that's a busting word. We'll just go and success and temporarily deferred. Cause language can be powerful to reason to depress. That's how we no longer hurt ourselves like we have post-traumatic stress. And the only way to keep our precious darlings out of jail is to make them think that they can never fail. Now you're screaming for the blood of a underpaid teacher. After all your texts paper nearly 12 G. You can see the world with a shame, but you call it as a parole. It's good enough for me, rich. I'm
your skin, just tell me who you have it. You wake up each morning and have to fight traffic, then spend all day chained to your laptop and beeper. Kiss some client's ass and then play some Minesweeper. Then hightail it over to you, drama lessons and lattes, but lattes of therapy sessions where you whine and ramble and dab your eyelids and complain that you never get time with your kids.
Can you tell me how to get to Hypocrisy Street? Yeah, that's kind of heavy-handed there, don't you think? Yeah, so this is a whole song, so let's wrap it up.
You're busy, you beat hard out, and meddle with the best, but your brooding fat-out suspect keeps deferring a success. So what the hell's a problem? It surely can't be you. It must be all the violence on this PlayStation 2. You look at this atrocity, this puppet for this case. A chronic TV gives us one and hundreds every day. There's nudity and blood because it treats those living people. And that's a sin, and no one can't agree, it's a sequel. It truly disables them, they get to see that they're mature. But now honestly, does who the hell resables anymore? Tell me, wouldn't it be easier for parents across the land? If games and Africans are all the stand. Now you're streaming for the plot of a game programmer, given to be just the children's industry. Just the way they act, just a baby role model. And the presenter isn't good enough for me. Training for a new list of points, your finger lowers to the whole world is rated PG. So stop the thing, what the letters really stand for. And the presenter, and the girl almost see if the letters are good enough for me.
Our show is copyright Jason Rennie 2007 and released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License 3.0. Music for this podcast is kindly provided by Stuart Fleckner Brown, who can be reached at Stuart, with an A, at elevelup.net.